Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice.
Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice, and thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Bernis. I'm here again with my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. And Ezra, Jews believe in one God.
Right.
That's the confession of our people.
That's right.
Christians also believe in one God, but manifested in three persons. Are they the same or different? To find the answer to the question, we have to go back to the Hebrew and the Old Testament. Ezra, probably one of the greatest challenges for Jewish people is the erroneous belief that Christians believe in three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right.
We believe what when we go back to the Hebrew?
Right. We believe in one God. And that's, you know, taken to its extreme, one of the Jewish objections to Jesus, if you will, or the Jewish objections to the idea that belief in Jesus or the Christian faith could be for Jewish people or even applicable, is this idea that God is one. The whole God's whole relationship with Israel is, I'm taking you out of pagan idolatrous cultures and I want you to worship me and me alone. And the Christians, well, they have whatever they call it, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're worshiping three gods or three persons, three manifestations. We worship one God. And it's like never the two shall meet. And yet if we look back at the Hebrew, which we're going to do in the next few minutes today, we see that the word is both. Is there any middle ground? Totally. Are we saying the same thing when we're talking about the God of Israel and the God who manifests himself as Father, as Son, and as the Ruach, it says in Hebrew, or the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. It has everything to do with
the other. So let's put up a slide here, because I think the first thing that we need to suggest,
right,
and this is really a correction, and it may sound the same, but it's not really, is the idea of Trinity. Trinity does convey three.
Right. Three persons, three entities.
But maybe a more accurate word would be triunity. That God isn't a trinity, he's a triunity. And that's brought out by our confession of faith in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. We have something called the Shema.
Right.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But listen to it in Hebrew now. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord our God, Adonai, the Lord, Echad. The Lord is one.
Right, Echad.
But that word Echad is very unique and helps us understand the idea of a triunity.
It is. And Jonathan, it is two things. To be fair, when you're counting in Hebrew, you know, one, two, three, echad, shtaim, shalosh, you know, echad does mean the number one, but the root here in Hebrew means more than that. It can also mean, in the way that it's applied here in this great confession of the Jewish faith, Deuteronomy 6:4, echad is unity in perfect oneness. Another form of that word in Hebrew is yachad. Yachad, you know, we know the verse, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in perfect unity. And the word there in Hebrew is yachad. It's related. It's that same root, one in perfect unity. And so what God's saying here to Moses and to the people of Israel isn't God is the number one. He's saying God exists within himself in perfect unity. And he's inseparable.
Yeah, a triunity,
right,
we see in Scripture.
Right.
Now notice a couple times this is used. Echad is used to describe the union between man and woman. They're individual, but they're coming together in marriage and they're becoming one flesh.
Oneness in perfect unity.
Echad.
Yeah.
Oneness in perfect unity. They become echad. One.
Right.
A bunch of grapes has many grapes, but it's a chad, it's one bunch, but
right,
there's multiple grapes. The idea here is not that there's three gods, but that there is one God, and this is emphasized, I think, in the New Testament as well, but in perfect unity, a triunity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. As we're given, you have another example.
Yeah, Isaiah 48, moving ahead a few hundred pages in the Old Testament
we'll
or the Jewish Bible.
We'll put this up on the screen now.
Yeah, Isaiah 48, verse 16 says this, "Come near me and listen to this. From the first announcement, I've not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. Now the Sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with His Spirit." The Sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with His Spirit. And so we see these references throughout the Old Testament, Jonathan, where it's referring to the Lord, to Yod Heh Vav Heh in the Hebrew, to the omnificent one, you know, the omniscient one, the all-powerful one, but then referring to His own Spirit. It's these references, and we can skip over them and read it and go, that's very poetic. But we need to understand here, God, if you will, the Father is referring to His own Spirit. Oneness with, distinction, but oneness with perfect
unity. It's a great verse. It's a great verse. You know, when you look at the Jewish scriptures, when you look at the Torah, just look at the creation story.
Right.
You have God who is everywhere in the one sense, but He is speaking forth creation.
Right.
And it says that the Spirit of God, that's the Ruach, is hovering over this void earth.
The first few verses in the entire Bible we already see, and the Spirit of God was hovering.
So you already see a biunity in the first few verses of the Hebrew Scriptures. So God is one.
That's right.
He's one God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel. But He's also speaking into existence the all of creation, and the Spirit of God is bringing this to pass.
Right.
As God speaks, the Spirit of God is bringing this to pass. So you have the biunity, and then, of course, in John 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God.
That's right.
So you have the Word, then, who was part of creation. Nothing was created without Him.
That's right.
Word was with God. The Word was, in fact, God. So not three gods, not a trinity, but a triunity, one God manifest in Father, Son, and Spirit.
Jonathan, there's so many more examples we could give. I'm thinking of a couple right now in the book of Isaiah, where we see this perfect unity represented in, if you will, multiple persons or multiple manifestations. You know these verses, but let me give you the context. This is Isaiah 9, and it's this great, if you will, messianic prophecy, right? Talking about the Messiah who would be born. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders." So there's this son who's going to rule the government. And then listen, "and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, wait a minute. I thought it was the son who's ruling and the government will be on His shoulders. How can He also be called Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace? Because it's that perfect unity represented in these multiple persons, these manifestations of God.
And I think this is one of these concepts that's so infinite that we can't fully understand it. You can say water, ice, steam.
Right.
But that's good. But this is an infinite concept that there's one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. They're all one, but they're all distinct in character and nature.
That's right.
That's right. Mind-blowing.
Right, and this really answers, you know, another verse I'm thinking of, Jonathan, is Isaiah 61. You know this as well because Jesus quotes it when He reads from the Torah, when He reads from the Scriptures, the scroll in the synagogue in the New Testament. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted," and it goes on. And Yeshua, Jesus, is reading this. The Spirit is on Him. Well, the Scriptures say, you know, Jesus Himself says, "I and the Father are one." And yet the Spirit of the Lord is on Him, empowering Him to minister. It's another example of that, the persons, the complexity of God Himself working together in perfect unity to do what only He can do.
Yeah. But when you think about this, and I know this might be getting philosophical, but this relationship of a perfect unity within the personhood of God, or the Godhead, emphasizes the idea of relationship.
That's right.
Right. So you have this wonderful relationship within this one God. It's again, We're talking about infinite concepts with the finite, so that's not, it, I guess it's something that's more understood here.
Sure, and I think, you know, two takeaways, Jonathan, even, you know, thus far in our time together today is, as you said, God is a God of relationship. He's not this distant, unknowable force like Islam believes. You can never truly know God. He can't be known. He can't be loved, or he can't love you. Our God, the God of Israel and the God of all nations, the God of all who would call upon him, is not that way. He's a relational God. And despite Jewish objections, we see this triunity of God represented all through the Old Testament.
We do, and he's one God. The New Testament does not teach three gods, it's one God.
That's right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the distinct person of the Father. I think we know a lot about the Son in as believers. We know a lot about the Ruach, the Spirit, but do we really know about the Father? Maybe the Jewish community knows more about the Father, the nature of the Father, than we do. I think it's an important thing to talk about. We do have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, but I want our announcer to tell you about some of the outreaches and opportunities that we're making available here at Jewish Voice. Your giving today will support our medical outreaches in Africa, our humanitarian aid around the world to Jewish communities and their neighbors, and we believe that God is calling you to partner with us to fulfill Romans 1:16, that the gospel is to the Jew first. Your funds, your partnership is needed to keep these vital outreaches alive, and together we are fulfilling God's call to the Jewish people and the nations of the world. Don't go away. Ezra and I will be right back.
God hears our prayer and meets us at our point of need is the message of confessing the Hebrew Scriptures. The Lord will provide. For your gift of $40, Jonathan will send you that book, plus the Jewish Voice Deluxe Journal. Record your thoughts and prayers in these pages, and you'll look back years from now to see God's faithfulness in your life. We also want to bless you for your support by sending you the Jewish Voice calendar for 2023. Become a new monthly Shalom partner for $30 a month, and we'll send you Confessing the Hebrew Scripture, The Lord Will Provide, the Jewish Voice Calendar, and the Deluxe Journal, plus the Names of God plaque. More than a beautiful piece of art, it's a statement of faith to family, friends, and visitors. As a Shalom partner, you'll also be joining Jonathan in outreach around the world. Please call this toll-free number. Our representatives are eager to hear from you. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code or mail your gift to the address on the screen. Your generosity will impact the lives of people we may never meet until we gather in eternity.
Before we get back into our discussion, I just want to take a moment together with Ezra to say thank you to all of you who support Jewish Voice. We couldn't do the work we do without you, and we are so grateful, especially to our monthly partners. You keep us going. Every month we're able to bring teams to provide medical care, dental care, eye care. We're able to send money to our partner ministries in Israel and Ukraine in particular. Thank you. We're so grateful.
Yeah.
We really are. It means so much. Well, Ezra, we've been discussing the one true God,
right,
manifest in three as a triune God. And we were talking about Trinity being misleading. That it, and many Jewish people understand Christians to believe in three gods. We don't believe in three gods in the New Testament. We believe in one God.
That's right. And quick, you know, proof text, if you will, if you're talking with a Jewish friend, Jewish colleague, maybe Jewish extended family member, and they go, you Christians believe in three gods, we believe in one. Well, the same Old Testament scripture we've been reading from today, Jonathan, that says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, Echad, also refers to God as the Father and refers to him as the Spirit. And it says, in one place, it says, do you know the name of his Son? Do you know his name, and do you know the name of his son? So that language of these persons of God, that triunity, is all over the Old Testament.
Yeah, that's an Old Testament reference. It also, right. Psalm 2 says, embrace the son.
That's right.
Lest ye perish from the way. The scriptures are, the Jewish scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures are filled with references to, of course, the God of Israel, the Spirit of God, and the Mashiach,
right.
The Messiah.
Now, moving right along, Jonathan, you know, I think sometimes the danger is we read the Old Testament and say, that's the Father, who's kind of generally angry, and then
right.
We read the New Testament and we say, well, that's the Son, who's generally happy and glad and died for our sins. And yet, in the ministry and the words, the red letter, if you will, in the words of Yeshua, we constantly see him pointing to the Father.
Yeah, we put a great deal of emphasis on the Son.
Right.
As we should be. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father.
That's
we
right.
focus on the Son. I think many are very focused on the Holy Spirit, which is not a bad thing. But what about the Father? The Father is so central. God the Father is so central
right.
to the Scripture, the New Testament as well, that I think there is a lack of understanding about the Father. In fact, this Scripture now, pray in the name of Yeshua, and Jesus said, pray to the Father
right.
in my name.
Right.
Do you do that? Do you actually pray to the Father in the name of the Son, in
That's
the
right.
name of Jesus or Yeshua?
And, you know, I'm picturing, you know, the dinner table somewhere in Iowa. We love you if you're watching from Iowa. Thanks for joining. You know, okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, and you know, the Lord sees the intention of our heart. I think
he's
going to hear us, right? You know, he's looking inward, not at the outward appearance or even the words. But when the disciples are asking, how should we pray in Matthew 6, this is Yeshua's answer. He says, this then is how you should pray. This is verse 9 of Matthew 6. Pray, our Father in heaven, may your name be glorified and lifted up, or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus, the God-man who's about to die for the sins of Israel and the sins of all mankind, is saying, this is how you pray. Let me teach you. Father, Abba, Daddy, who art in heaven, may your name be glorified and lifted up. So this is the Messiah himself
yes.
saying, you're praying in my name on the merit of what I'm about to do for you, slain since the foundations of the world, but you're praying to the Father.
It's interesting, you know, he doesn't avoid his true identity. He says,
right.
I and the Father are one.
Totally.
He says, before Abraham was, I am. He's making it clear who he is. He knows who he is. He's not an ordinary man. He's not a created being. He is part of the triune God,
right.
but also in another sense, he's subordinate in serving the Father.
Right.
He doesn't say, pray to me for your daily bread.
Right.
He says, here's how you should pray to the Father. You're praying to God, give us this day our daily bread.
That's right.
When it talks about the need for laborers, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest.
Right. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray. It's actually in Hebrew, such an interesting word. Beg, implore the Lord of the harvest, the Father, to thrust forth laborers into his harvest fields. It's
there
incredible.
There are so many clear references to the Father, and I just think we overlook them. We have a blind spot.
Right. Now, Jonathan, one quick thing here as we're running out of time. You know, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, let me quote two verses here. Exodus 33:20, God's speaking with Moses, right? It says Moses was like a friend to him, and he says, you cannot see my face and live, for no man has seen my face and lived. This is the Father, if you will, speaking to Moses, saying, you can't see me. I can't be seen face to face. And then John 1, verse 18, confirms that in the New Testament. For no one has ever seen God. Speaking of the Father, if you will. No one has ever seen the Almighty. And yet, Jesus said, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. And so Jesus is not only our mediator as we're praying, but our way to have that closeness, to have that restored relationship with the Father. We can't see him yet. One day in eternity, I believe we will. But right now, what we can see is the manifest glory of God manifested through the person of Jesus.
Yeah, so when it talks about the Father, he's in shadows.
Right.
There's an image. There's a light.
Right.
There's the back.
That cannot be directly
Moses
seen.
Moses sees the back.
Right.
But God the Father, this is the picture of the holy God.
That's right.
who the God who in his Shekhinah,
right,
in his kavod, in his weight, and in his glory, can't fully be seen.
That's right.
But the Son, who is the grace and the mercy, these are all attributes of God.
That's right.
The attributes of holiness and justice and righteousness are all part of who God is. But
Amen.
you have Jesus expressing the love, the redemption, the healing, the mercy of God, and he's visible to the world. But
that's
you've
right.
seen me, you've also seen the Father, not in absolute fullness, but in part.
Jonathan, it's just amazing to kind of meditate on for a minute, right? Moses is so close to God. But God says, you can't see me. You can only see my back. And then it says, God made all of his own glory to pass before Moses, and Moses is held in the cleft of the rock, right? And it says, the Lord, this is my glory. Moses, I'm going to show you who I am. The Lord, compassionate and gracious God, forgiving iniquity, pardoning the transgressors even to 1,000 generations. And we go, well, that's great, but that's description of him. I can't see him. And yet John and Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, are very clear that Jesus is the express manifestation of the glory of God. Jesus is the manifestation of the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, pardoning iniquity to 1,000 generations.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
It is.
I want to go back and just emphasize the Father in this
yeah.
revelation of the triune God. First of all, we're praying to him.
Right.
If we want to get it scripturally right, we're praying to the Father.
That's right.
Through the Son, who's our intercessor, who's our mediator. Right? There's a mediator. There needs to be a mediator, but it's God himself who's the mediator.
That's right.
Then the second thing, we haven't seen God face to face. We've seen God in the person of Yeshua, but we haven't seen the Father face to face. And then also, the Son is leading us to the Father, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. What's the goal? To come to the Father.
Except
and then the
through
final
me.
Through me. And then the final thing, the Father is the one that holds all knowledge.
That's right.
Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's not for you to know the hour,
right.
rather,
right.
but only my Father.
That's right.
He holds that truth.
That's right. It's an incredible thought to know that
yeah.
even there's things that even the Son is not aware of. Only the Father
right.
knows. It's incredible.
Get to know the Father.
Yeah.
Get to know all aspects of the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ezra, we need to take a short break so we can share some of the information with you about resources that we're making available this week, resources that will help you. And then make sure to stay with us in just a few minutes. We'll come back and pray for your needs, the needs of your family. Many, many needs have come to us this week. We pray for every one of them. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
God hears our prayer and meets us at our point of need is the message of confessing the Hebrew Scriptures. The Lord will provide. For your gift of $40, Jonathan will send you that book, plus the Jewish Voice Deluxe Journal. Record your thoughts and prayers in these pages, and you'll look back years from now to see God's faithfulness in your life. We also want to bless you for your support by sending you the Jewish Voice calendar for 2023. Become a new monthly Shalom partner for $30 a month, and we'll send you Confessing the Hebrew Scripture, The Lord Will Provide, the Jewish Voice calendar, and the deluxe journal, plus the Names of God plaque. More than a beautiful piece of art, it's a statement of faith to family, friends, and visitors. As a Shalom partner, you'll also be joining Jonathan in outreach around the world. Please call this toll-free number. Our representatives are eager to hear from you. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code or mail your gift to the address on the screen. Your generosity will impact the lives of people we may never meet until we gather in eternity.
Truly, one of the names of God is Adonai Yireh, the Lord will provide. You might know him by the name Jehovah Jireh, but it's Adonai Yireh, the Lord will provide, and he will provide for your needs today. We're going to agree with you right now.
That's right.
Ezra, we're going to join in together. Where two or three agree on earth is touching anything, it shall be done. Those needs are met. So, Lord, we come before you, and we lift up the needs of those who are watching right now, or who have written to us or sent us an email. Adonai Yireh, you're the Lord who provides for every need. You're the Lord who hears and answers prayer. We speak healing right now. We pray for divine provision, for a creative miracle, for healing, for those that are fighting cancer, for those who are fighting life-threatening illnesses. In the name of Yeshua, in Jesus' name, we speak life, life, life. We speak provision financially, spiritually, emotionally. We pray for restoration of families. We declare it. You are Adonai Yireh, the Lord who provides. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is truly in relationship, perfect unity as a whole, as one God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website, jewishvoice.tv, and you'll find many helpful resources there. You can send us prayer requests right to the website. I want you to know that we care about you, and we pray for your needs. Most importantly, that God loves you and cares for your needs. I want to thank you for your support of Jewish Voice around the world. And as we close the program today, Ezra and I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says they shall prosper who love thee. Ezra, thank you for joining me again
today.
And until next week, we want to say to you, Shalom, and God bless you.
Join us for reflection and rededication this Hanukkah season. Visit jewishvoice.org/8days and sign up to receive daily devotionals during the 8 days of Hanukkah.
6 out of 10 Americans today don't currently have a will or trust, and another 30 to 35% are either poorly written or outdated. Because of your financial support to our ministry, we're able to provide you with independent, professional advice to help you develop a will or trust at no cost to you. Go to jvmi.org/trust to learn more.